and looming. CBS's Erica Brown says the U.S. government argued its owners' ties to China's government pose a national security threat.
ByteDance could sell to halt the ban. A privately funded group, including Shark Tank's Kevin O'Leary, announced it wants to purchase TikTok, but ByteDance has said it will not sell.
Ohio State and Notre Dame will meet for the national college football title.
A huge win by Ohio State Friday night. The Buckeyes advanced to the national title game, knocking off Texas in the Cotton Bowl 28-14.
Howard under center, second and goal from the one. Hand off Henderson, bulls to the end zone, he's in! Touchdown, Quinshon Judkins!
The call courtesy of the Buckeyes Radio Network. Junior running back Quinshon Judkins, second touchdown run of the game, snapped a 14-all tie in the fourth, punching Ohio State's ticket to Atlanta. The Buckeyes will be playing for their first national title in a decade when they take on Notre Dame on January 20th. Erica Herskowitz for CBS News.
Scientists with NASA and the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration say 2024 was the hottest year on record, replacing 2023 as the planet's warmest year. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
I drew my brother's name one year and we went to the mall and I said, hey, while you're in there, grab me a Christmas card. We're doing the gift exchange later. So he walks upstairs, gets the card, hands it to me. I sign it, Merry Christmas. Love, Pete. And that was my gift to him that I made him pick out, pay for, and retrieve. He's like, you are the laziest, cheapest. It was absolutely beautiful.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Here's what the WSJ had said after J6. This week has probably finished Donald Trump as a serious political figure. Boy, that hasn't aged well, has
no,
it?
No, not at all.
In the Wall Street Journal. So after what they just said 4 years ago, Maggie, they couldn't bring it upon themselves to say that guy who did that shouldn't be anywhere near the White House again. Nope, couldn't do it.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Community Stories is taking a holiday break for the month of January. I'm your host, Melissa Kay, and the show will be back in February with more stories from your community.
For Wisconsin News Connection, I'm Judith Ruiz Branch. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Cloudy tonight, a low in the low teens. For tomorrow, mostly cloudy, snow developing by night, highs to the mid-20s. Flurries wrap up Sunday, becoming breezy and colder. High early in the day in the upper 20s, then temps falling. And even colder for Monday and Tuesday. Right now, it's 22.
Pat Kreitlow.
Monday morning, we'll talk to Judge Susan Crawford, candidate for Wisconsin Supreme Court, on defending a progressive seat against Scott Walker's attorney general.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6. This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Good morning. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenhoff coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. It's the same number, It's 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. You can also call and text directly via the Civic Media app. If you don't have it yet, go to wherever you get your apps. Look for Civic, C-I-V-I-C, Civic Media. Download the Civic Media app. It's absolutely free. And you can listen, text, call to any show across the network. It's pretty great. Mm-hmm. We have 20 stations across the state, so check it out, the Civic Media app. He joins us every Friday at this time to do a little recombobulating. Dan Schaefer from the award-winning Recombobulation Area and also Civic Media's political editor. Happy birthday to your little daughter.
Thank you, Jan, and happy birthday to you this week.
Oh, thank you so
much. Good week for a birthday.
Good week for birthdays. Absolutely. Not so much for Greg. It was last month, actually. But... lots of things we're going to kick around. There's some kerfuffle. An effort to kerfuffle.
Yeah.
There's an effort to fire people up about what's happening with the Milwaukee Public Museum. We're going to talk about that after the 11:30 news. Mm-hmm. There's one group that seems to be trying to create problems for something that has been in the works for a decade.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it just, they're just finding out about it now, Dan.
Well, sometimes when you notice things, you realize that there's a whole backstory sometimes, instead of just like kind of noticing just things in the moment. We can talk about that in the
We'll talk about that a little bit later on, but we're going to start off with our legislature's back after a brief 300-day vacation, all rested and bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, showing up in Madison on Monday. And their big priority, Dan Schaefer, is it getting poison out of our water? Is it funding childcare? I don't know. Is it closing hospitals and stuff like that? What did our legislature decide is the most important thing to address immediately?
Well, as their first order of business, the Republican-controlled Wisconsin state legislature did not act on cost of living or health care or a number of other priorities that need to be addressed. But they fast-tracked a measure to put a question on the spring election ballot that would enshrine voter ID in the state constitution. Now, it's pretty clear what they're doing here. They're doing this to juice potential turnout in the spring election.
Absolutely.
Because this is the type of question that will speak to the MAGA base of the Republican Party and bring people out. People who are always very concerned about the quote unquote election integrity and all of that. And so bringing people out, getting people out to the polls, because I think Republicans recognize that their best chance of winning back a seat on the Wisconsin Supreme Court in the upcoming spring election is by bringing the people who elected Donald Trump in November, making sure they're at the polls in April. So I think this is the type of measure that would go towards that. And again, it is a question of priorities. But I think what Republicans one of the biggest differences you see between Republicans and Democrats, Democrats like politics. And Republicans really only focus on power. And this is a measure that would advance their ability to continue to consolidate power and bring them, you know, a majority on the Wisconsin Supreme Court, which would go to their interests overall in state government.
I firmly believe that this constitutional amendment will pass. I really do. I feel fairly certain that that's going to pass. But I don't understand. I don't understand if people are going to show up for this election. Janet Protasiewicz was just elected by a massive margin.
Mm-hmm.
It was a landslide mm-hmm. when she got elected because people wanted fair maps, mm-hmm. fairer maps.
Well, there were a number of things, and I think people wanted change on that court, right? People wanted something different. But
so so we want to go back to that? We want to go backwards.
It remains to be seen kind of like what people want in this. And I think so much was leading to that 2023 Wisconsin Supreme Court election. Over, you know, it was years and years and years of work by those on the left to try to really reprioritize the court and win back some of those seats. And the court had been in conservative control for well over a decade and was really impactful in a lot of ways in Wisconsin politics. And now it's because Ann Walsh Bradley, the kind of like longest serving liberal member of the court, was retiring at the end of her term here, not seeking another 10-year term. You know, she's 81, I believe.
It's probably time.
So it just sets up another one. And so, but the thing is, if the liberal candidate Susan Crawford is able to win this election, that really will make this majority pretty durable for the next few years, because the next two justices that are up on the ballot after this in 2026, it will be conservative Justice Rebecca Bradley. In 2027, it will be current Chief Justice of the court, also a conservative, Annette Ziegler. So if conservatives win this one, they don't have to worry. You know, they could still there will be another race where the majority is on the line 1 year later.
Right.
If liberals are to win this one, they can relax a little bit. About those seats going forward for the next couple election cycles. So I think, you know, we're all exhausted from the fall election. We're all exhausted just covering and following Wisconsin politics
Seriously. More
generally. So I think that is perhaps why there's not the same level of enthusiasm at the moment. But I think that will ramp up in the coming months here.
Well, and that was the thing, too, with Janet Protasiewicz. I mean, there wasn't. It wasn't a snowball of energy immediately. It slowly ramped up. And
and there was a primary and there was, you know,
yeah. Sorry. And it's just, this is all going to the original point of the fact that, you know, they want to put these constitutional ballots on here. Robin Voss has said he's going to double down. He's going to put them on every single election, because whether they can't get it done in the legislature or they can't win at the ballot box, they're going to do everything to consolidate their power. As we just talked about yesterday, and we will be having Representative Greta Neubauer on this to talk about her press release from yesterday, they have eliminated committee members from various
Democrats
in Madison. So they're going to do everything they can to get their way, because they can't get it done by legislation or by election. So they're going to, and I don't want to say they're going to cheat. They're going to just basically, like I said yesterday, they're going to be the, I don't like this. I'm taking my ball and I'm going home. They're not going to be a representative democracy working together, because that's not how Robin Voss computes.
Well, and it's more about finding flaws within the system that they can exploit. Mm. Just like in North Carolina with the mess with the North Carolina Supreme Court race.
Yeah.
And they want to the Republican wants to throw out 60,000 ballots, not because these people were voting illegally, but because of some very small secretarial even things, you could say. So there's no basis for throwing these 60,000 votes out except for this small little thing that an I wasn't dotted or a T wasn't crossed.
Yeah.
That's what they're going to now to get their way.
But again, it's Republicans understand that it's about power. Yeah. It's about power at all costs. And Democrats don't approach that the same way. They wonder about, let's make sure this is abiding by the norms and the rules.
Right.
And let's not upset the parliamentarian and like all of these different things. And Republicans are just like, yep, we're doing this.
We don't care.
Yep.
Well, but they have the ultimate, you know, I don't want to say Trump card. I don't like that term anymore. But the fact is, like, they say they want the power. So they're going to say, we want to ensure voter confidence. So we're going to do this. And as we talked about yesterday, there's going to be a lot of people who vote Democratic who say, oh, it just made sense to me. Of course you won.
Yeah.
Like there's nothing mean in their hearts towards the exercise or the measure. It's they don't understand the history behind it. And once you get them educated on why they want voter ID, then it becomes a little bit more of a discussion to make them understand this is more based on suppressing the vote of certain groups who the GOP assumes don't vote for them.
Right.
So I think that's one of the main things that we all need to be talking about over the next few months is the history of why Wisconsin or the GOP in Wisconsin wanted voter ID in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
That's the conversation. And then I really think, because we saw it last year, if enough people get educated, they're going to say, nah, we don't need that. We don't need that.
But I am not getting the sense that there is going to be pushback on this the way that we saw last summer with the constitutional amendment on allocating federal funds. There was obviously a big push from Democrats on that one. They most of these amendments do pass. That one did not.
Yeah,
I don't think there's going to be as much of a push on this one. I think public opinion has really shifted on when it comes to voter ID. And like you said, the reasons that they implemented it to begin with are well documented. They did it for political purposes. But I think the people have not really objected to the process. I think there could be better ways to get IDs to people who don't necessarily drive, or like all of these different things, make that process more streamlined and whatever. Maybe that's the process. Maybe that's the type of thing that Democrats should be bringing up in this. Be like, yeah, look, we're recognizing that voter ID is the law and has been for a while, and people have been voting this way for a while. Let's make it easier for people to get an ID, for people to be part of the process. Yes. I don't think there's going to be as much pushback on this. And I think for a couple reasons, and I think one of it is public opinion, and one of it is just like, I think people are more comfortable having a photo ID now in 2025 than maybe when this was brought up initially in 2012. Like, I think it's just kind of a more of a regular part of our day-to-day life in the United States.
I think that statement speaks of someone who is of a certain age, because I work at a bar, and I can tell you every single weekend I turn away at least one, if not more, people under the age of 24 who don't have an ID and do not carry it regularly. It's true, or don't have it because they don't drive. So this is a targeted measure, and there are young people out there. It's like, I don't need it. I take Uber. Why do I need an ID? Why do I need an ID to get in here? So I mean, that's a bigger conversation, but yeah. I think they understand that there are certain people just don't have it, or don't want it, or don't need it, and don't care. So
yeah, I don't think there's going to be a whole lot of a pushback on this, but I think the problem that I do have with it is just making it your first order of business when you come in.
Yes.
And I think we saw some of the pushback on that. State Senator Dianne Hasselbein put out a statement on this after the fact, and she said, you know, responded this by saying it's not cost of living or health care or gun violence that Republicans want to focus on, but a constitutional amendment.
To ensure that they stay in power. This is all for their own benefit. I'm sorry. You can tell me that you know inherently that there's voter fraud until I actually see some proof. I'm not buying it.
Yes. And again, it is the whole voter ID thing to begin with is a solution in search of a problem.
Absolutely. Dan Schaefer is here from the Recombobulation area. Also, Civic Media's political editor will continue our conversation on the other side. Stay close. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Locally grown radio, WFHR. Matt Nair on Air.
It is our 1 year anniversary here on Matt Nair on Air. Thank you, Greg and Calvin, for being on this journey with me. It's been great.
Thanks for having me. I can't speak for Calvin.
I'm always thrilled to be here.
Unbridled.
The enthusiasm brimming over from you, Calvin. I'm overwhelmed. Thank you.
Matt Nair on Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Todd Alba Show.
Donald J. Trump has been officially certified the winner of the 2024 election the way that the Constitution dictates. You see how simple that is? There's a vote, you certify the results, democracy moves on. You might not like the results. The person I wanted to have elected didn't win, but that's the way democracy works. Unlike 4 years ago on January 6th, where rioters stormed the Capitol.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
I'm discombobulated. It's grounds to be frustrated.
Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Calvinator on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us. You can call. You can text 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Jabba the Musk continues to actively ruin. After the 11:30 news, we're going to talk about the Milwaukee Public Museum. They're going to be moving into a new home in the next couple of years. Someone's trying to make trouble. That's how I see it.
It's a hullabaloo.
It's a hullabaloo in the works. And we'll wrap it all up as we do every day with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it's the Oops, Wrong Number edition. Right now, though, we're recombobulating with Dan Schaefer, author of The Recombobulation Area, also Civic Media's political reporter. Let's talk about this bill, that the Laken Riley bill, that most Democrats voted for.
So it's actually a little bit confusing. So like this has been a very high profile bill that Republicans have been advancing in Congress. It passed the House with a bipartisan vote earlier this week. Now it is heading to the Senate. And so yesterday on the Maggie Dawn show, Tammy Baldwin was on and along with talking about some of her other work to bring a monument for women's suffrage to the National Mall.
A bipartisan measure. With Marsha Blackburn, of all people. I almost fell over.
How about that? But there's this Laken Riley Act that, that is being advanced. So Baldwin voted yesterday to bring the bill to the floor. So like the majority of the Senate, I think it was 80 some votes to bring the bill to the floor. I think there were like 9 Democratic senators who just like objected to it outright. Yeah. But in her interview yesterday on the Maggie Dawn show, Baldwin articulated why she thinks there are problems with the bill. And there are, as written, she said she would not support it in its current form. Now, a number of other Democrats have come forward and said that they will be supporting this. John Fetterman in Pennsylvania, Ruben Gallego in Arizona. So it does seem like this is it's a bill that's very likely to pass. And I think it will, the question is whether it will reach kind of the threshold to get over the filibuster.
For people who are not familiar, though, Dan, Laken Riley was a young woman who was murdered by an illegal immigrant, correct?
Correct. Yeah, in Georgia. And so, like, what this bill purports to do is to really give law enforcement some more tools to crack down on instances of illegal immigration. But I think the problem with it, and I'm looking up the statement here from newly elected state senator from New Jersey, Andy Kim. So he put out a statement yesterday, Democrat, saying, I think he was one of those who voted to advance the bill to the floor, but he is also, like Baldwin, objecting to it. So it is already law that undocumented immigrants that are convicted of felonies face detention and deportation. But what this bill does, and I'm going to read directly from Kim's statement here, says, quote, but mandating detention for those facing accusations before they go before our judicial system runs counter to our Constitution. So basically what this bill would do is allow law enforcement to detain people who have been accused of crimes.
And not convicted.
Not convicted. Just accused. And so I think that is one of the kind of like constitutional problems that there has with this. I saw one commentator, on Twitter yesterday comparing this to kind of like a Patriot Act type of situation where people are so overly concerned and Democrats are so overly concerned about, finding the right message on immigration that they're going to vote in favor of this bill that could really open up a Pandora's box of a number of issues. But I think what this says to me in a big picture sense, it just suggests to me that Democrats just don't know where they stand on immigration. And I think this is one of the biggest issues that have come out of the election to me, is that I don't really know what Democrats' position even is on the issue.
Or how to fix
this
point,
or how to fix it. And so, this became such a big issue in the campaign. And I think Democrats, instead of wanting to have the argument with Republicans on immigration and border security related issues, they just wanted to change the subject. And I think that was a real problem. And I think in absence of articulating an actual position on immigration, you have Republicans saying, hey, Democrats are for open borders. Yes. They're for crime. They're for this. And people are accepting that as the truth because Democrats aren't, A, putting up a fight on it, or B, articulating a clear policy on what exactly they believe. And so this bill, I think, Baldwin, I think, is is right to say, hey, let's, you know, this is a new Republican Senate. This is your first measure bringing up. Let's have the conversation. Maybe we can open it up to a broader conversation about amendments. She mentioned in the interview that she had yesterday about, you know, having protections for Dreamers and things like this, and having a conversation about comprehensive immigration reform. But doing this kind of like very reactionary, it just doesn't seem like the right path for Democrats. But it does seem like a number of them will be voting for this. So it's an interesting moment for this issue.
I don't disagree with you as far as like the messaging on immigration and the Democrats, because all they were saying in the past few months, especially during the election, was the bill that got killed by Donald Trump's phone call. Mm-hmm. And it was always then to say, look, immigration is a tough problem and we have to come up with a solution. Can I tell you about my family now? Like, it was always like they always
admitted, let's talk about abortion now.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
But the question I have, and this is maybe a Jim Santel question, is, you know, we're talking about the Constitution and whether on how it deals with it. If they are, and don't yell at me, I'm literally just asking someone who is not smart. If they're not a citizen of this country, the Constitution does not cover them as having protections. Am I correct or not correct?
I mean, that's a good question. Yeah. These are like, there's some really wonky details when it comes to immigration law, because our Congress has not acted to update our immigration law in a really long time.
Yeah. Well, and from what I understand about this measure, this would allow, say, people, employers who employ illegal aliens, this is just going to give them more control over those people with threats of saying, I'm going to accuse you of stealing something.
Right.
And you don't get due process. So you better put in another 12-hour shift.
Right. And, you know, there are employers like, as was reported in The Guardian last month, the Wisconsin-based company Uline that exploits a lot of these. Yes, I know. This is shocking news to you, Dane.
Shut your mouth.
Exploits some of the loopholes in the law to exploit migrant labor in a lot of ways. So again, it is, are you bringing the same type of action to the companies that are hiring people in this situation too?
Dan Schaefer is here. We have news coming up next. We'll continue our conversation, so stay with us. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Getting out of frozen Wisconsin. I need you to recombobulate me. I want you to recombobulate me. I need you to recombobulate me. Won't somebody recombobulate me?
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
CBS News Brief. With concerns about looting and danger to residents, Los Angeles police joined the county sheriff's department in implementing a curfew. Chief McDonald.
Any person who refuses or willfully neglects to obey the curfew order in effect in any evacuation order zone or evacuation warning zone within the city of Los Angeles will be physically booked.
President-elect Trump was officially sentenced yesterday for his New York hush money convictions. Prosecutor Joshua Steinglass said the no punishment sentence is fair.
It gives full effect and respect to the jury's verdict while preserving the defendant's ability to govern.
The Supreme Court heard arguments as TikTok tries to stop a potential ban in the U.S.
They'd like to get a delay or for the Supreme Court to rule against this law because President-elect Trump is open to finding another way.
CBS's Kelly O'Grady. CBS News Brief. I'm Michael Toscano.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Wisconsin beats Minnesota again. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Men's college basketball. The Badgers jumped out to a lead at the Kohl Center and never looked back, beating Minnesota 80-59. It's the eighth straight time the Badgers have beat the Gophers. Wisconsin head coach Greg Gard.
You know, that second half, we got the ball moving. Even we did in the back half of the first half, we got those to go down, which it's a matter of time if we can continue to be unselfish and move the ball and obviously have it put away relatively early in the second half.
NBA, the Bucks with a 101 109-106 win on the road in Orlando against the Magic. Next, they face the Knicks tomorrow in New York. NFL, the Packers face a tough Eagles defense tomorrow, led by former Wisconsin linebacker Zach Bond, who's now with Philly after starting out with the Saints.
Yeah, a guy that can do it all. Just watching his progression, obviously from New Orleans, where he didn't play a ton, to see what he's done in Philly, it's been pretty impressive.
That's Packers head coach Matt LaFleur with Sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Cloudy tonight, low in the low teens. For tomorrow, mostly cloudy, snow developing by night, highs to the mid-20s. Flurries wrap up Sunday, becoming breezy and colder. High early in the day in the upper 20s, then temps falling. And even colder for Monday and Tuesday. Currently 21 degrees.
Hey there, folks. It's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute and a tip about saving money when you are renting a car. So you know how you get to the rental counter and then they ask you if you want to prepay for gas so you don't have to bring the car back full? Well, I used to get sweaty in those moments as I wasn't sure what the right money choice was. Prepaying for gas at the rental counter? Not worth it. First off, rental companies often charge more per gallon on the prepay than local gas stations do at the pump. And even if they're about equal, fees or taxes on your rental can tip the scales against prepaying. And you'd have to return that car completely empty to get the full value of buying prepaid gas. Otherwise, you're just buying gas for Avis and Budget or whoever. Quick note, make sure you have time to refill the tank before you return the rental. If you don't prepay and you don't fill up, they are going to charge you like they have refilled that car with liquid gold. For more tips, head to workmoney.org. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
Hi, this is Beth, your new host for The Kitchen is Open, the award-winning show within the morning show. Each Monday morning at 9 a.m., we'll tackle topics, teach techniques, and tell you what to do or not to do when it comes to cooking or the kitchen. I'll also bring you interviews with local chefs and restaurant owners with insight on what it takes to make it in the food industry. Listen as I work with James, Seth, and others as we learn, laugh, and have fun. The Kitchen is Open. Same kitchen, new host.
Earl Ingram.
The Republicans and Donald Trump want to impose tariffs. They say it's going to bring in $2.7 trillion.
That's what they say when they're trying to justify a tax reduction. Those broad tariffs are not good for the average American.
You know, Sandy, I'm not a guy that knows anything about calculus and any of those things, but I do know how to add and subtract. They're adding to the national debt.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Max Inc. Radio, original local music from Wisconsin, Saturday and Sunday, 6 to midnight. This weekend, we welcome brand new band Take Back the Sun, and Terry chats with Aaron Schulke about Wisconsin polka. It's Max Inc. on Civic Media. We are local music.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to Matineer on Air. Jane Matineer, Greg Bach, and Calviente on the board. Nice song there, Calvin. Coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up at 11:51, we will wrap up the show as we always do with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it's the Oops, Wrong Number edition. And a reminder to men's basketball action tomorrow, Wisconsin at USC. The broadcast starts at 1 p.m. You can listen to that game tomorrow on WALAK in Amory, on WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids, also 14 WRJN here in Racine, and WRCE in Richland Center. Men's basketball, Wisconsin at USC, 1 p.m. tomorrow is the broadcast start. Dan Schaefer is here from the Recombobulation Area, Civic Media's political editor. We're going to talk in just a second about Wisconsin population and the outlooks for next 20, 30 years. Not promising.
Not great.
Not great. But nope. I did want to start off with this because I have a good friend who works for the Milwaukee Public Museum. I have done stories at the Milwaukee Public Museum. I've been in the basement of the Milwaukee Public Museum. It's a mess, by the way, if you've never been there. And I saw this morning, and it seems like this right-wing group is really, really trying to get people upset about this.
Of course.
About the new Milwaukee Public Museum building. This could mean that Granny, who rocks away on the streets of old Milwaukee, is about to lose her chair. This means the Crow warriors who hunt the bison are now the hunted.
What?
It means the European immigrants who built Milwaukee are being deported back to the old country. The hard reality is this means the death of what we know as the Milwaukee Public Museum.
My goodness.
They're talking about the big dioramas.
Yeah.
That have been at the MPM for decades.
And the streets of old Milwaukee,
and the streets
which people
of old
know and love. Yes.
Yes. They're not moving to the new facility.
Right.
The new facility is smaller.
Yes.
Because the current Milwaukee Public Museum is gigantic.
It's a large, cavernous, incredible, weird, decaying building.
and that is the point.
Yeah.
It is a decaying building. They have had deferred maintenance on that thing for probably 30 years or longer.
Yes.
The windows leak. The plumbing leaks. When I got the tour of the basement, the amount of duct tape and buckets underneath pipes, it's unbelievable. Really, it's unbelievable. Mm-hmm. And they did studies on whether or not it was feasible to rehab the current building. It's not cost effective.
No.
It just isn't.
It's so unfortunate. But it
is.
The thing of it is, we had these debates years ago, right?
Yes.
And so like the right-wing groups that are getting upset about this now, the time to be upset about this was when the debate was happening at the county level and at the state level several years ago. And so in one of my past lives at the Milwaukee, as a reporter at the Milwaukee Business Journal, I was looking at this up during the break. I wrote an article with the headline Milwaukee Public Museum's Future at Risk. And this was 2017. And so I interviewed the head of the Milwaukee Public Museum at the time and said that if they weren't able to make repairs or have like a long term plan for a new building, that they would be the largest museum in the country to lose accreditation.
Yes.
So like this issue was around for a while. This
yes.
was, again, this is a byline that I had March 17th, 2017. So this is
almost,
you know,
8 years ago.
Almost 8 years yeah. ago that we had this conversation. There was, you know, things happening at the county level, at the state level over these past few years. You know, my good friends at Milwaukee Record often have been covering what's been going on with this. Matt Wild wrote a piece with the byline of March 2022 saying we only have a few years left to enjoy the Milwaukee Public Museum.
What?
And this is the thing that the Republicans in this this group is just noticing this now, I guess, because they were not part of the being engaged in the political process in Milwaukee. And this is, you know, the conversation that was happening in reality was that Milwaukee County had all of these. It was the public museum. It was the domes. It was, the Bucks Arena was part of this conversation for a lot of the time. All of these like cultural assets that the county did not have the funding to repair or replace or, you know, reimagine for the future or whatever it is. And they were able to find some path forward for the Milwaukee Public Museum, and they've broken ground on this. The train has left the station.
But
like, I understand that we all love the streets of old Milwaukee. We all love those dioramas. We all love these things. You got to experience them now because it's the change is happening. We are, you know, going forward with this. Again, the train has left the station.
But for all of these people, and again, I feel like this outlet is just trying to gin up some outrage. They need the new I'm ticked off about blank.
Yeah.
In order to keep their people engaged, because that seems to be very effective. But it's if you're going to complain about the dioramas being removed or the streets of Milwaukee not going to the new facility, I want to know the last time you were at the Milwaukee Public Museum. Well, don't tell me 1967.
Mm-hmm. Right. Don't tell me your field trip when
you were in seventh grade.
Right.
That doesn't count unless you're going on a yearly basis to visit the streets. I don't want to hear you whining about it.
Yeah.
I went there last year with my niece and nephew for their dinosaur days. It was really fun. Of course, we walked Old World, Wisconsin.
Yep.
And that was the first time I'd been there in maybe 20 years. And I dare anyone to come out of there with anything more than, okay. It's not inspiring. It's not. It doesn't fill you with a sense of civic pride. That's not how this works.
Or wonder.
But the question I have, though,
love the museum, though. I you know, when they have the free days as a stay at home dad for a while, those free days at the Milwaukee facilities were big. So I would take my daughter to the. And we would just go around and walk through all the exhibits and all that. But there would be a lot of times when we couldn't go to a certain wing because it was closed down because there was water leaking through the ceiling.
Yes.
And stuff like that. And they were losing parts of their permanent collection. And it was costing a ton of money to, like, move it or restore it or just, like, have to dump it and stuff like that. And it's just there was no long-term answer. They finally found a long-term answer. And now they're just like, wait, why are things bad? Different. Change.
But you had a reason to go. You're a dad with kids and you're having a good time. I went there and it was fun and I'm probably, but I'm not going to go there again because I'll go to the new one, which is across the street from the Bucks Arena. But the question I have, is there going to be no sense of history in that museum? You know what I mean? Like, they're going to have something similar or remembering or resembling the streets of Milwaukee and all of these dioramas. They might not be the dioramas, but there will be a sense of history of Wisconsin and Milwaukee because that's what a museum does.
And it has to change. Yeah. And when you think of all the technological changes, they could take that diorama of the Native Americans and really put it into motion with sound and movement and on a big screen.
They can animate it.
Or put you in the middle of it.
They have unveiled a lot of different plans for some pretty immersive, compelling exhibits that they're going to have there. I get it. It's a bummer, but like things change and we didn't preserve this building and the exhibits there as well as we could have because they were gutting funding for Milwaukee for years and years and years.
Thank you, Scott Walker.
And the Milwaukee County under Chris Abley's tenure had to cut $300 million. And when David Crowley got there, said we need to get a sales tax or else we're going to fall off the cliff. Those are the realities of what the budget is facing. So do you want to take away from like the sheriff's department or the fire department to pay for this stuff? The decisions that Milwaukee leaders have made have said, no, we need to continue to fund these essential services, parks, transit, all of these other things. There has been a budget crunch for the courts, all of that. There are so many cultural facilities that Milwaukee County has been a part of. And like, if you want to get engaged in talking about like something that, you know, is in a conversation right now for the future, talk about the Milwaukee County or the Mitchell Park domes.
Yes.
Like that is something that is in, we are having the debate now.
Yes.
And so like the 2029 version of whatever publication exists at that point might be like, why didn't we get rid of why didn't we save the domes when we could?
Yeah.
That's the conversation that's happening now in 2025. Oh, so like get to that now.
They're going to, if they, for some reason, take down the domes, which I'm not saying they're going to, I'm not saying they should, but just, when they just that,
the
like, what do you mean they're taking it? What do you mean? What do you mean? We decided this like 10 years ago.
It's manufactured outrage.
Oh, yeah.
It's manufactured outrage. And that's what I think this is. Again, we need to keep our people ticked off and we need to keep our people ticked off at X.
Yeah.
So now we're going to direct it over there. This blows my mind. I have big doubts as to the cost analysis and impartiality cited. But even if accurate, it is still less expensive to fix the old building versus the new one. No, it's not.
Because if they would have, they wouldn't have done the new one in the first place.
Exactly. I'm telling you. This has been well known.
I'm looking at the article that I wrote, and I'm quoting my past self, which is, this is, again, 2017. In less than 3 years, the museum has seen about $250,000 of damage to its collections caused by flooding, pipe leaks, and, quote, basic standards of environmental control that the 54-year-old building fails to meet.
It's only 54 years old, too. That was a weird thing. Like, it's not like a 300-year-old building.
But, again, that just shows you how long they have been pushing off maintenance to this.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because the money wasn't available. And as I said, I've been in the basement of that building. The amount of duct tape, the amount of... They've had to jury rig all of these channels to lead all this water to the buckets they have on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
That's not sustainable. Andrew on the live stream says maybe these groups who are upset could purchase and display said dioramas on their own.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a great idea.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a great. Put it up for auction.
Sure.
There will be some. I would buy the dinosaur diorama for sure. I can fit that in my backyard.
Yeah.
We got a couple of minutes left, Dan. Let's talk about population in Wisconsin.
Yes. there was a big report from the Department of Administration not too long ago talking about projections for Wisconsin's population in the future. And the headline from Wisconsin Public Radio on this is Wisconsin's population expected to decline by nearly 200,000 residents come 2050. And this is, you know, this is on the heels of a report from a couple years ago identifying the 2010s as the slowest growth decade on record in the history of the state of Wisconsin.
Wow.
And so I think this is part of the long-term legacy of what happened in the 2010s in Wisconsin.
Act 10.
Act 10, Robin Voss being in control of things. Conservatives pretty much controlled the whole state for all but like the final 2 years after Tony Evers got elected.
Yes.
And that led to the biggest decline in population growth in state history. And so I think, you know, I tweeted about this earlier this week saying this is the legacy of the Robin Voss era, that the long term of this, you know, basically the only part of the state that is growing significantly and has grown significantly over the past 15 years is Madison and Dane County.
Yeah.
You know, Milwaukee's population has really stagnated in a lot of ways. And in northern Wisconsin, many of the, you know, kind of up north counties in Wisconsin are declining already significantly, like by like 15-20%. And if you map that out in the future, we have a very aging, we have an aging population here in Wisconsin, fewer families, you know, raising their children in the state. This is like a really dire long-term outlook, and is something we really need to reverse the trend on, and we need to do it soon.
I think of just Robin Voss saying one of his fixes is to make people come into the office if you are a state worker, because that will make Wisconsin more make us look better for job prospects. I'm like, you have no idea how to attract people. My sister will not move to the state, a state she was born and raised in, because she feels like this government hates women and she doesn't like the fact that my niece lives here. There are definite decisions that were made by this regime that have affected us. And it's Robin Voss and Scott Walker.
And Robin Voss's fix to this is, let's make it better for retired people.
Yeah.
And hey, you know, I'm of that age, so I get that. But that's not where I'm not going to be helping with population growth anytime soon. Dan Schaefer is here from the Recombobulation area. Subscribe. It's fantastic. He's also Civic Media's political editor. When we come back, we'll wrap it up with this shouldn't be a thing. Oops, the wrong number edition. You're listening to Matt Nair on air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Locally grown radio, WFHR. The Todd Alba Show.
What's going on in Washington today as we move into 2025? Have your antenna up. Don't rely on all the media sources. Just your own wisdom, your own heart, your own gut. Listen to what they're saying about our friends and neighbors and family. Because we innately know these people that we live with every day in our communities. Don't allow words and thoughts to tear us apart. Hold fast to that which we know, which is good.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Here's what the WSJ had said after J6. This week has probably finished Donald Trump as a serious political figure. Boy, that hasn't aged well, has
no,
it?
No, not at all.
The Wall Street Journal. So after what they just said 4 years ago, Maggie, they couldn't bring it upon themselves to say that guy who did that shouldn't be anywhere near the White House again. Nope, couldn't do it.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach.
Sweet Calbee, coming to you from our home at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and the platform that Jabba the Musk continues to actively ruin. We do have a little snow falling in Racine. Pretty light right now, but might be enough just to make things a little bit slickery. So be careful out there. Watch your speeds. Please remember that no matter what you drive, the laws of physics still apply to you.
I got all-wheel drive, baby. I drive how I want.
Coming up on Monday.
Yeah.
Very excited to have him back. It's been a couple of weeks. Matt Randolph is Mr. Global.
Yes.
Oil and gas industry experts. Donald Trump says he's going to drill, baby, drill in his next administration. Matt's going to be here to explain what that would mean for you and me.
And he has been going pretty hard on YouTube lately, and I would just very much suggest you look for one of his videos came out this week, which is a 35-minute video of his story.
It's fascinating.
It's very, very good, and it just gets you up to speed with what he's doing and what the things he speaks to us about. Just take a listen. When he's on next week, I'll link it in the show notes. But it's a really good watch.
Get to know Mr. Global.
Exactly.
Well, and again, he calls himself an oil and industry gas expert. That's not a self-appointed title.
No, it's not.
And that's something you have to earn.
Yeah, and we'll talk to him about that, too, next Monday.
Also coming up on Monday, excited to bring it back, Beyond the Cheese, our segment where we feature businesses in Wisconsin that are outside of the dairy industry. Very, very excited about this. Stephen Aronson from Wisconsin Knitwear is going to be here. It's a company based in Milwaukee, and they are still producing knit hats and all kinds of things. And this is a business that his grandfather started. So they've been around in Milwaukee for a really long time. He's going to be coming in studio. Very excited about that. I understand there could be new hats involved.
Oh, baby.
I know. We can only hope. So that's all coming up on Monday. Mr. Global at 10:33 and then Beyond the Cheese at 11:06. I hope you can join us. It's 11:54. Calvin, that means it is time for
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
Jason Kendall in Law and Crime. Headline reads, I just need a couple of points. Florida woman accidentally texts narcotics investigator instead of her drug dealer for fentanyl hits. I hate when that happens. Florida woman, shock, facing criminal charges after authorities say she accidentally texted a sheriff's official whose number she saved because they were similar. His initials are similar to her drug dealers.
I mean, just starting the Florida year outright. Mwah, chef's kiss.
41-year-old Octavia Wells now facing charges of unlawful use of a two-way communication device.
All right.
Possession of drug paraphernalia and driving with a suspended license. This all came to light December 31st when the sheriff's office investigator got a series of unsolicited text messages from someone called Octavia. She said she just needed a couple of points. Apparently that is referring to 1/10 of a gram of fentanyl. Octavia also told the sheriff's official that she had $45 to spend. They set up a place to meet. Deputies found her driving on a highway. She was driving on a suspended license. She pulled into the agreed meeting location to get the drugs. When she was stopped at the gas pumps, got out at the vehicle, a deputy approached her while she was standing there. She admitted that she was there to buy a small amount of fentanyl because she was going to go to rehab that day.
Well,
you want a little bump before you go in?
Sometimes people do that. I guess. They get high before they go in because they're going to have to. It's not going to be good.
The defendant said she mistakenly texted an investigator whose number she had, whose initials matched her drug dealers. If there's a lesson to be taken from this, maybe spell out the whole name.
Well, why do you even have a cop's number in your phone to begin with?
That's like,
unless you're an informant.
I don't think that was the case.
Well, then I'm. It's too much Florida for me.
A search of a vehicle turned up tinfoil used to smoke fentanyl, fentanyl test strips with straws used to smoke it, a digital scale, and straws under her driver's seat. She has posted bond and ordered not to possess or consume booze. She is scheduled to appear in court at the end of this month. But again, This shouldn't be a thing. Oops. Wrong number edition. Calvin, that wraps it up for today.
This shouldn't be a thing.
And if you ever have a thing you think should not be, send it in to Greg and me at janesays@civicmedia.us. JaneSays, janesays@civicmedia.us. We have news coming up next. Todd Alba from noon to 2 p.m. Maggie Dawn takes over from 2 to 4. Dominic Salvia, 4 to 6. Lightening it up with Pete Schwabba, 6 to 8 p.m. You were on last night.
I was on last night. It was so much fun. I gave my popcorn pick of the week, a wonderful movie that I can't remember the name of it right now, actually.
It was that impactful.
Wicked Little Letters.
Oh, Wicked Little Letters. There. Yeah, you can also always listen to all of our shows in podcast form. Mm-hmm. If you miss it live, go to civicmedia.us. Thank you, Greg and Calvin and all of our engineers. Without you, nothing works. And thank you most of all for calling and texting and for listening. It absolutely means the world. I hope you find some joy over the weekend and you get the chance to share it. Keep it right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll see you Monday.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR. Maggie Dawn.
Why should you care that the North Carolina Supreme Court just stopped the election and seating of a liberal justice to the North Carolina Supreme Court? We discuss next at 2 p.m.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
Emergency medical unit, respond to 102 Maple Avenue, possible stroke victim.
When stroke occurs, you have 60 minutes to win or lose the race of your life. There are new treatments, but you must get to a hospital fast. If you suddenly feel weakness on one side, have trouble speaking, walking, or seeing, it could be a stroke. Call 911. Get to a hospital. Because how you spend the next 60 minutes could determine how you spend the rest of your life. Stroke. Know the signs. Act in time. A message from the National Institute of Neurological Disorders and Stroke.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM. W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Michael Toscano. As wildfires in and around Los Angeles continue on their paths of destruction, a new evacuation order was issued for the Palisades fire, and there is a curfew overnight across evacuation areas. CBS's Lilia Luciano is with evacuees.
When 10-year-old Hudson and his 7-year-old brother Atticus evacuated,
we were sitting at our dining room table, and we could see the glow of the fire over our courtyard wall.
Hours later, their father, a firefighter, saw their home engulfed in flames.
That's my house right there.
Oh, no. I'm so sorry.
Yeah. We're trying not to show them some of the images because it would be just so heartbreaking.
Why were you sad?
Because I love going to school.
In New York, the official sentence was issued on President-elect Donald Trump for his felony convictions.
Never before has this court been presented with such a unique and remarkable set of circumstances.
In the brief proceeding, Judge Juan Merchan gave Trump an unconditional discharge. Trump will have a criminal record, but will not face prison time or probation. The sentence comes little more than a week before his inauguration. A Manhattan jury convicted Trump in May 2024 on 34 felony counts of falsifying business records. Trump and his attorneys have vowed to appeal, a process that could play out while he is in the White House. Bradley Blackburn, CBS News, New York.
Winter storms are holding the South in an icy grip. CBS's Skylar Henry is in Atlanta.
Winter weather is set to continue to impact other parts of the South, including here in Georgia, but also North Carolina, Tennessee, and other states. More than 900 flights here at Hartsfield-Jackson International Airport have been canceled due to the weather.
104,000 customers remain without power in Georgia, according to FindEnergy.com. The Supreme Court heard from TikTok as it fights a new law that would ban it in the U.S. unless its Chinese owner sells it. CBS's Erica Brown.
In their questioning, justices seem inclined to uphold the ban lawmakers passed with bipartisan support last April.
Congress is fine with the expression. They're not fine with a foreign adversary, as they've determined it is, gathering all this information about the 170 million people who use TikTok.
All it's doing is saying ByteDance has to divest, and then TikTok can go about its business, use whatever algorithm it wants.
South Korea now says the flight data and cockpit voice recorders for the crashed Jeju Air flight that killed 179 people stopped recording 4 minutes before the plane crashed. Investigators say the boxes were crucial, but they won't give up trying to find out the cause. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
I drew my brother's name one year and we went to the mall and I said, hey, while you're in there, grab me a Christmas card. We're doing the gift exchange later. So he walks upstairs, gets the card, hands it to me. I sign it, Merry Christmas. Love, Pete. And that was my gift to him that I made him pick out, pay for, and retrieve. He's like, you are the laziest, cheapest. It was absolutely beautiful.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Matt Nair on Air.
It is our 1 year anniversary here on Matt Nair on Air. Thank you, Greg and Kelvin, for being on this journey with me. It's been great.
Thanks for having me. I can't speak for Kelvin.
I'm always thrilled to be here.
Unbridled.
The enthusiasm
enjoyment.
Brimming over from you, Kelvin. I'm overwhelmed. Thank you.
Matt Nair on Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy